This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Boy, are Julio's days in Atlanta actually over?
Falcons have been asking other teams for a first-round draft pick.
He's Julio Jones. This is one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history.
Trent Brown, Patriots offensive lineman, tweeting out, come be a Patriot.
Julio Jones wants out of Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston. It's late May, and the offseason may just be getting underway in the NFL.
I mean, what an offseason we're having. This is a whole lot of fun. Hey, listen, all the latest on Julio Jones is coming your way, including exactly what the Atlanta Falcons may be asking for him, and then some of the info they've been getting. Also, one person here, as we move to Aaron Rodgers, says he will not be back in Green Bay, and this person is sure why. Plus, we'll hear from Rodgers' coach after his SportsCenter interview last night. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. We got a full packed show today, so much to get to. You would not know that it's May 25th or whatever day it is. Diana Russini, Marcus Spears, Vina Kimes here, and let's get to our top story. We begin with Julio. The Falcons wide receiver made it clear that he wants out of Atlanta. In fact, he said it yesterday on FS1's Undisputed. He also said he wants to go somewhere he can win. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Falcons prefer not to trade Julio in the NFC, but would do so for the right price. They're looking for the best value in either conference. So, Marcus, as this news came down yesterday to start the week, what was your reaction to hearing what Julio said publicly?
Yo, initially, Ailes, it was like, Julio is serious, because the one thing we all know about Julio Jones is he doesn't run the fine cameras to handle his business. And the fact that he was so open and public about wanting to be out of Atlanta was just shocking to me initially. And then I went to the part of Julio doesn't think he can win in Atlanta either. The joke was on Dallas, obviously, when he talked about he wants to win when the question was asked. But the bottom line is Julio has asked for a trade, and he wants to go somewhere where he can win. So that's all people need to know. Now, beyond that, when we get on the field and start talking about football, there are destinations that I think are great fits for him. One being the Baltimore Ravens. The other, the Kansas City Chiefs. And yeah, ooh. I said it. I said it, L Boogie.
What?
I said it. Why wouldn't they? Like, I don't know how the money situation works out and all of that. Mina tell you that they can't do it because they cap strong and all of that. But I'm telling you right now, we watch what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did, stockpiling that amount of talent on the outside, giving Tom Brady all of those weapons. It would not shock me if Julio was in play for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Golly, you should have seen Mina's face, like, right when you said that. It was good. I wish everyone could have seen it. Anyway, we'll table that for a minute. Falcons head coach Arthur Smith addressed the media today. He put on a masterclass in deflection when asked about Jones. Listen to this.
I'll do that. Like, any private conversation I have with our players is going to remain private on my end, and I'm not going to sit here and comment on any potential roster moves we may or may not make. Look, we encourage our players that they should speak for themselves, and so I'm not going to comment. It doesn't change anything for us. I mean, we understand what our plan is moving forward, and we have, like I said, we have multiple private conversations with our players, and those are conversations that are going to remain private on my end.
Diana, what are you hearing about the types of offers that the Falcons are looking for here?
All right, so they've been taking calls for a while now that included Julio Jones, at least a trade for him, and they've been waiting for the right price. So where are we at now in terms of the real interest, right? So I was told that there are several teams from the AFC that have shown interest, and there are teams in the NFC as well who have shown interest. Now, it's going to come down to what can the Atlanta Falcons get. We've been talking on the show, I think, for about 2 weeks now with what is Julio Jones worth at 32 years old at this point in his career. We know, or at least I can tell you and I can report, that the Atlanta Falcons are looking for a first rounder. They are being very stiff and stern with those that have called with interest. That is the price that they are looking for. They have listened to other offers. And I was told that this could actually get moving very soon. So the thought of Julio Jones being in an Atlanta uniform could be coming to an end if Atlanta gets that price that they're so desperately hoping for.
Yeah, by the way, June 1st is that date, so that's next week. So you're exactly right, Diana. This is coming down the pipe as we speak. We're going to know soon what's going to happen here. Let's take it on the field. Prior to last season, Julio Jones had played in 88% of his team's regular season games. But in 2020, he missed 7 games with a hamstring injury, and that had a clear impact on Matt Ryan's performance. With Jones on the field, Ryan posted a total QBR of 83, which would have ranked 2nd in the league behind Aaron Rodgers. Without him, though, his QBR dropped to that of an average NFL quarterback, with his touchdown to interception ratio cut in half. So, Mina, what does Arthur Smith and a Matt Ryan offense look like without Jones on the field? Because I think at this point it's safe to assume Julio Jones is not going to be in Atlanta anymore.
Yeah, Lauren, that's got to be disappointing for Arthur Smith, because with Julio Jones, the Falcons have one of the best groups of skill players in the NFL. Jones and Calvin Ridley, incredible yes. 1-2 punch. You're adding Kyle Pitts, the rookie tight end, to the mix. We know Arthur Smith likes to use 12 personnel with 2 tight ends on the field, so one has to think he was thinking about him and Hayden Hurst. They also signed Mike Davis, who was a productive running back for Carolina last year. You take Julio out of that equation and suddenly everything shifts a little. Calvin Ridley's still a very talented wide receiver. I think he's a true number one, but he benefits in the same way that does Matt Ryan does from having Julio Jones on the field, drawing the attention of cornerbacks. Suddenly, he's the X. Everyone's focused on him. Same goes for all the other skill players. I do think Atlanta is upgrading with Pitts and with the play calling, but the downgrade without Julio probably cancels that out.
You know, when you think about Diana's reporting here that Atlanta's looking for a first-round pick, and you think about what you're pointing out, what the numbers point out, I think the people out there that say Julio Jones may not be what he was or what he once was, yeah, maybe that's slightly true, but he's still Julio Jones. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers here, who's still surrounded by uncertainty. No surprise he didn't show up to OTAs. In fact, it actually might have been more of a shocker if he had made an appearance at the start on Monday. But what Rodgers did do, however, is join Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter last night. It was Kenny Mayne's final SportsCenter. Shout out to him. Take a listen to what Aaron Rodgers said.
In my situation, look, it's never been about, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible. Incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year.
There is so much there. ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky joining us now. Rob, let's start here. What's been the reaction to Rodgers' interview last night?
Yeah, well, Laura, count Coach Matt LaFleur among those who were tuned in late last night to that SportsCenter appearance. But it didn't sound like it changed anything in LaFleur's mind. He told us today that they're going to continue to work through this thing, and they're going to try to get Rodgers back in this building. Now, obviously, he's not here. But the best reaction from someone who was here came from safety Adrian Amos, who, when asked today whether he expected Rodgers to be back with the Packers, he said, "I expect him to be, but I'm not going to go home and cry if something else happens." Mm. Of course, you want one of the greatest quarterbacks here, but he's never going to knock anyone who says they're trying to get what they feel like they deserve. And one other thing from today, Aaron Jones, the Packers running back who re-signed 4 years, $48 million, said that he never heard anything from Aaron Rodgers that Rodgers said he wouldn't be back here. He said it wouldn't have mattered, though. He probably would have re-signed here anyway. 48 million reasons to do so.
Exactly. Yeah, not going to turn that one down. All right, so meanwhile, the rest of the team really is at OTAs this week. What did head coach Matt LaFleur have to say today about Jordan Love, the quarterback? Really is the Packers quarterback right now.
Yeah, when he wasn't asked about Rodgers, it was mostly about Jordan Love. And the thing that he said, and I think we all noticed, was this. The ball was jumping out of Jordan Love's hands today, and it was clear that he's done a lot of work in the offseason. And that's true. You could see it. He definitely had more zip on the ball, Laura, than he did last year. Of course, understandable. He was coming in, as a rookie with no experience in this system. But there were some throws today where he looked like he was just a little bit more on point than maybe he was last year. He got all of the number one reps because even Blake Bortles, the backup candidate that they signed, was not practicing, was here but not on the practice field today.
Yeah, you know, what's lost in the shuffle in all this, in a way, is Jordan Love's actual situation. We keep talking about him, but it's really interesting to think about all this from his perspective. Aaron Rodgers, of course, actually shouted Jordan Love out last night. Thanks so much, Rob Domofsky, for joining us.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tell the world what you about. Tell the world what you about.
Pressure in his face. Aaron Donald rips into the turf. Aaron Donald into the backfield.
A nightmare for offensive linemen.
He stepped up to me, so I took him down.
Look to self. If you gotta block somebody, block number 99.
No one in the NFL has more success against a double team than Aaron Donald. In fact, he had 16 more pass rush wins against the double team than any other player in the league last season. And while TJ Watt was the league's sack king last year, Donald's ability to generate pressure actually led to an NFL-high 19 sacks created. That's a telling stat. Former Rams cornerback coach Aubrey Pleasant, who's now with the Lions, had some high praise of Donald, telling the Detroit Free Press, "I joke and tell people the greatest corner I've ever played with is Aaron Donald. In order to be a successful football team, things have to marry, they have to collaborate, and I think the pass rush, as well as the ability to play sticky coverage, no matter what your philosophy is, I think they go hand in hand. And when those things work together, it makes it very difficult for the opposing offense." No doubt, Aaron Donald makes it difficult for any opposing offense. But Marcus, explain to us, how can a D lineman actually be your team's best corner?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, L Boogie, because the marriage, right, is simple. Like, up front absolutely dictates a lot of what goes on the back end, and vice versa. Not to take anything away from them guys, because Jalen Ramsey is clamping down one side of the field. But when you get to Aaron Donald and you see the plays he affects, everybody talks about the great plays he makes, but the plays that he affects that could turn into something. The impact of having him on the field not only makes everybody else's job easier, he creates havoc for offenses because they're trying to figure out, what do we do with Aaron Donald? And they let other guys leak through.
Yeah, Marcus, you know, this is defense 101. The best way to help your secondary is to rush the passer effectively. But I would maintain that this year in Los Angeles, the defensive line, they can't just help the secondary. They can't just be their friend. They gotta be their best friend, like Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes level BFFs, because this is a secondary that's gonna need more help, having lost some pieces. Like, they still got Jalen Ramsey, of course, and some really good young DBs, but the loss of John Johnson cannot be overstated. The safety went to Cleveland, as well as Troy Hill. And look, we talk a lot about Aaron Donald and how great he is, best defensive tackle in football. But the Rams, and Marcus, you alluded to this, they gave Leonard Floyd $64 million. That's not just to clean up after Aaron Donald. He needs to win himself. And again, there's more pressure on the guys up front because of the losses in the secondary, as well as the loss of Brandon Staley, their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's not like people forget how great Aaron Donald is, right? But he was injured toward the end of last season. They even had him out there just because his presence alone, to our points here, makes a difference. But to see him back healthy again, that's going to be legit. Let's get Diana back in here for some news around the league. We start with the latest on Eugene Chung and that investigation, Diana.
Yeah, so he's the coach that revealed that he was told by several different people in the NFL that he is the wrong minority. Well, our Michelle Steele actually just did an interview with him where he revealed to her that he's not looking to name any names. He doesn't want to get into that. He just wanted to share with the world so that they knew that this was a problem and an issue. He said, in fact, even one team didn't even look at him as a minority. That's what he was told. So as of right now, the league does want to talk to him about it, but he doesn't want to get into it and name the teams, the organizations, and the people that did this during the interview process. Then recently, the Deshaun Watson case, we know that 22 women are suing the Houston Texans quarterback. And as of right now, the case has entered into discovery, which will play really well into this 2021 upcoming season, Laura. And the way this is going to work is the 22 women will be deposed, but Deshaun Watson, based on this case, cannot be deposed before February 2022 as of now. And his lawyer also added they haven't entered any conversations with any of these women about potential settlements. So Watson won't be deposed until next year.
Yeah, that's an important update on the timeline there. People have been wondering about Deshaun Watson. More from Diana coming later in the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Let's read and react to some sound from around the league today. We start in Cincinnati, and this is going to be a beautiful sight right here. You see Joe Burrow back out on the field for OTAs. So good to see him back out there. And now, of course, he's got a new but familiar weapon to throw to in Ja'Marr Chase. Burrow addressed his health and expectations for training camp.
No, I was expected to be ready. We still got a couple months to go. Get a little stronger, get a little bigger, but we're on a good path. You know, at this point, I'm doing everything. The next one is just to get cleared for football activities and contact. Hopefully, I'll be, you know, I should be going full go in camp. That's my goal. Maybe a little limited, but I hope not. And then after that, the next one is to be cleared to play.
Diana, what are you hearing about Burrow's progress?
All right, well, he's got that new receiver, but he's also got that new knee brace that you saw him wearing out there. He's about 80 to 85% right now. He's obviously very enthusiastic to be out in the field. So what's it going to look like? A source with the team told me that they're in line with what Joe was saying today, that they expect him to be ready to go by training camp. Of course, they're not going to push him too much, but that's a great goal for all those Bengals fans who are watching.
After starting the season 11-0, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers lost six of their last seven games, including that playoff game against the Browns. But Ben's teammate, defensive end Cam Hayward, won't hear any negativity when talking about his quarterback.
Dude went 11-0 to start the season. How many other quarterbacks did that? And, you know, I think we can sit up here and talk about, you know, we lost the game last year. You know, we lost to the Cleveland Browns. Okay, so be it. We fell off at the end. We've still made the playoffs. But I'm not here to, you know, say my quarterback's not able to do it. I've seen this guy win Super Bowls on TV. I've seen him day in and day out compete. So when I hear the bad mouthing about him being, you know, a not great quarterbacks, and then everybody's ready to elevate other quarterbacks, I'm like, what have they done? You know, this guy is a proven winner, but yet we're ready to discount him.
Nina, you buying what Cam's selling there?
Well, I feel like he's talking right to me.
I think he is.
Sorry, Cam. I love you. You're a great player. Unfortunately, you know, I feel a lot better about Ben Roethlisberger's ability to return to form if I felt a lot better about his protection, because as much as he was responsible for some of his struggles down the stretch, his arm, a lot of it also had to do with the offensive line, and I'm not convinced yet that the Steelers improved on that front.
Tom Brady and most of the Bucs starters did not show up to Bucs OTA this week. Head coach Bruce Arians was asked if there were any negotiations with Brady and any other the starters about coming down to work out. Here's what he said.
No negotiations. I just told him don't be here. You know, I would love to have you in the meetings, watching film, do some team building. We got some guys that will come in and out. But as far as if you were a starter, you weren't going to be on the field anyway.
Marcus, is it a big deal for a guy like Brady to miss time with his teammates?
I got one of my favorite lines in the movie Gladiator. Not in this lifetime or the next. Okay? Look, Tom Brady has been to enough OTAs for three careers. And we know damn well he going to be ready to go. And the workouts he do individually with his guys are probably going to be more important than OTAs.
Spoken like a true vet. Hey, speaking of Tampa also, even the Bucks, the first team to ever go winless in a season and have a couple of Super Bowl trophies. Here's a number 9 of Adam Schefter's 10 biggest offseason questions that you want to hear here.
Can two cities known for football heartbreak, Buffalo and Cleveland, turn into perennial winners? Only 12 teams have yet to win a Super Bowl. Arizona, Atlanta, Buffalo, Carolina, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, Jacksonville, Minnesota, the Chargers, and Tennessee. But no two cities aside from Buffalo and Cleveland have become more adept at manufacturing football sadness. Whether it was wide right,
no good,
the fumble,
the ball, and Denver has recovered, oh my,
or the drive, Buffalo and Cleveland have raised hopes and then crushed them. This season, behind two quarterbacks from the same 2018 draft class, hopes are high. Buffalo is coming off its first division title in 25 years.
It is knocked down incomplete. In the last second, the Bills win it. The Bills advance.
Cleveland is coming off its first playoff win in 26 years.
The Browns lead 27-0. This is an amazing story.
And now, the Bills and Browns look to be even better. Dare we say favorites in the AFC? Maybe. But there aren't any NFL cities that would savor a Super Bowl parade any more than the ones who have produced so much sadness.
Mina, these are clearly the two teams, the Bills and the Browns, that have their sights set on Kansas City and the AFC. How did they go about setting their teams up this offseason and in the draft to compete with Kansas City?
Well, Laura, they actually took similar approaches to this offseason, the Bills and the Browns did. In Buffalo, in the draft, they really focused on improving their pass rush, adding Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, Boogie Basham from Wake Forest to the mix. That's a part of their defense that they needed to fix or address or improve upon. And then in Cleveland, we spent a lot of time talking about the additions they made to the secondary. Earlier in the show, I talked about them plundering the Rams for Johnson and Troy Hill. They also drafted Greg Newsome, the cornerback out of Northwestern, to compete. And look, while those are different parts of the defense, they constitute or they add up to the same strategy, which is stopping Patrick Mahomes through the air. And like, these are two teams, we're not just asking can they win, we're asking can they win a Super Bowl. It's about now finding marginal edges or asking what is it going to take to put us over the top versus the Chiefs. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they both zeroed in on pass defense this offseason, and whoever's bets pay off could be, I think, the team that competes with the Chiefs.
Yeah, Marcus, obviously the Chiefs king in the AFC, but which of these two teams in the Bills and the Browns do you like better heading into the season?
It's the Browns, and I can't believe I'm saying it. And for the sake of Buffalo, Bills Mafia, don't hate me. But this is what this is predicated off of. Listen, when you look at, and we're talking about on paper, we in the offseason right now, so we're on paper. But when you look at what Cleveland did, just like Mina just mentioned Gregory Rousseau and Basham coming in the draft, the Cleveland Browns went out and got Jadeveon Clowney to line up opposite of Myles Garrett. Not only that, they were an injury-riddled secondary last year. They may have, will have Grant Delpit back. They drafted Newsome in the draft. Obviously, Hill and Johnson going over is a huge deal. I believe this defense will be a top-five unit. And then offensively, the reason why I say it more than anything is that Baker Mayfield is not going to have to be in the MVP conversation for the Cleveland Browns to make a Super Bowl run. Josh Allen will be. He'll have to be in the MVP conversation if the Buffalo Bills are going to win a Super Bowl. He's more insulated, and that's not a shot at Baker Mayfield. That is how Stefanski has set this offense up. And we all know about the run game, but at the line of scrimmage, we may be dealing with the best offensive line in the NFL as far as protecting. So that's why I think Cleveland is ahead.
I think both of these teams are very good. I want to put that out there first. I think Marcus and I are both a little bit afraid of their fan bases also. But I side with Buffalo, Marcus. They're very passionate, Bills Mafia and Browns fans. I side with Buffalo for a couple of reasons. I think the Browns defense could be great, but I got to see it first. Right now, they're really great on paper, but this is a completely remade defense in Cleveland. And then on the other side of the football, you're right.
Cleveland has the better offensive line, the better run game, but Buffalo still has an incredible group of wide receivers. I mean, you're right about Josh Allen doing more in that offense or having to do more, but it's not like he doesn't have help. And on top of that, he's coming off of a season where he was a viable MVP candidate and they kept both of their coordinators, which I didn't think was possible. So I lean Buffalo, but I think these teams are 2-3 in the AFC behind Kansas City.
Marcus,
I just want to put it on people's mind because I think Mina made a great point about their receiving core. Just what if OBJ is in this offense the right way and returns no more?
Well,
I'm just putting it out there.
Let me say this then, because I was going to ask you, I was going to put you on the spot. If you had to pick a player on the entire Browns roster that's most important, and you can't pick Baker Mayfield, but I don't think you would anyway, who is that player?
Odell Beckham Jr.
That's kind of what I thought
can change a game. Yeah. Listen, there is no difference in Stephon Diggs and Odell Beckham Jr. outside of injury. There's no difference as far as talent. So we'll see how it goes.
Hey, by the way, Bills Mafia, it's at MSpears96 if you want to let him know what you think. Send him a tweet. He responds most of the time, especially to the haters.
What's going on, everybody? It's T. Kells with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm coming up on NFL Live next. You don't want to miss it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Fires to the end zone. Kelsey's got it. Touchdown! A brilliant catch and run by the best tight end in the league.
I don't know if there's anybody in the league that can line up and cover him.
Come take that ride, boy. Come take that ride. Way to show out today, baby. Yeah!
Travis Kelce has hauled in the third most catches over the last five seasons, sitting among the likes of Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, and Devontae Adams. But as you see here, he's actually averaging more yards per reception than these top-level wide receivers over that span. And just last season, he set career highs in catches, yards, and touchdowns. So here's what we do on NFL Live. When somebody's coming on the show, we just butter him up with all these great stats about him. Travis Kelce joining the show now. And Travis, you just heard those stats. Your name's up there with some of the top receivers in the game, not just tight ends. Right before we started this interview, you were saying you're putting that work in. How are you getting even better than you've already been?
Man, I'll tell you what, that's good company right there. Anytime your stats are equivalent to guys like that, man, you're doing something right. And that's I'm just very fortunate that I'm here in KC. I know Coach Reed, Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, the guys in this building, the guys in this offense, they make my job real easy, real easy. Week in, week out, and even in the offseason, we bounce ideas off of each other and just make each other better. So I'm just fortunate that I landed here in Kansas City, and I'm reaping the benefits of everybody around me.
TK, it's good to see you, my brother. I got to ask you, though, the fact that y'all are getting things going, have you rewatched the Super Bowl? And I want to know what was the reaction after watching that film? And is it anything lit about you trying to get Tampa once again?
Oh, yeah, man. I'll start off by saying, man, I hope I see those guys in L.A. at the end of the season. But we're just going to take it day by day, game by game, and see how the cards get dealt, man. I just you have to watch it. You have to watch the game. You have to be a man about it. Figure out what you did wrong and how, you know, if you get put in those situations again, how you can have success. And I mean, just being a man about my losses, the times and throughout the game where I came up unsuccessful on my one-on-one matchups. You have to be able to learn from those opportunities, those situations. And that's all we're doing right now is trying to, you know, sharpen our tools so that this year we can hit the ground running and give ourselves a chance to go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you hit the ground running already. OTA starting for your team today. There's a lot of new pieces, especially on the offensive line. So they're great pieces, but what's the most important part of building a new rapport with them?
I feel like the biggest thing is just getting everybody on the same communication, get everybody understanding, you know, how we work in this building. I think Coach Reed's done an unbelievable job of not only bringing in the right guys, but setting the standard of how we work here in Kansas City. And I'll tell you what, walking in that huddle, it's a little bit different this year. I love all the guys that we played with over the past couple of years, man. But when you walk in this huddle, we got big, big dudes, man, big guys that are very accomplished at what they've done in the years past, man. And it's just it's fun. It's fun to have that new, refreshing atmosphere when you walk into the huddle, because it gets you excited.
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky actually said yesterday on our show that this Chiefs offense is going to be the best that we've seen in the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid era. So that's pretty high praise. Let's do some rapid fire here, okay? Give me your first reaction to some of the top headlines in the NFL today. Julio Jones.
I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued. My eyes are open. I'm peeking at the headlines, seeing where he goes. Listen, that's a game changer. When you talk about guys that can make plays anywhere on the field, full route tree, no matter where you put them. I mean, that's a guy that changes the game and changes teams. So I'm interested to see where he lands, man.
How about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that's the way to answer that.
Another guy. I mean, back to back. I mean, one and two. You name it. I don't know where they go, but immediately that team is getting better. You hate to see, you know, guys say that they don't want to be anywhere. What Aaron said last night. Is that it's always about the people and doing the right things. You know, I think that's the best way to go about it, because you never want to go leave somewhere and you know, make it seem like you're attacking the other players. You know what I mean? You could tell he loved playing in Green Bay. You know, just the situation is what it is.
Okay, listen, you've been busy with your golf game, actually, Travis. And not only did you attend the Masters, but you recently put your own skills to the test during the Trick Shot Accuracy Challenge with Dick's Sporting Goods. What was it like competing against World Long Drive champion Kyle Berkshire, LPGA player Cheyenne Woods, and golf YouTube star Garrett Clark?
I'll start off by saying it was very humbling. It was a very humbling experience. Those guys, I mean, they know how to hit it. I mean, from Berkshire to Garrett to Cheyenne Woods, I mean, everybody there, it was a blast. It was an absolute blast hitting the golf ball. Look at me trying to make trick shots. That was the best shot I had all day, by the way, right there. Look, I can't even sink a four-footer. You know what? The golf game, I'm working on the golf game. I've had a lot of fun over the past couple off seasons, just getting out there on the course and enjoying getting better at the game. But it's definitely a work in progress. And, you know, that's what Dick's Sporting Goods is for. Everybody go down to Dick's Sporting Goods, take pictures. They got everything you need in terms of golf apparel, golf attire, and golf clubs, man, all your favorite brands, man. It's just it's been a blast, but I'm still working hard at it.
No doubt, fam. Look, I got a bone to pick, because I was going to text you. I didn't want to do this formally on national TV in front of everybody. But you and Kittle got this tight end, you going, and I keep checking my mail every day waiting on my invite. TK, where the hell is my invite to tight end you, bro? I was the number one tight end coming out of the country. I know a little bit about the position. I'm waiting on my invite, dog.
This is all news to me. See, I thought you were just a big, nasty interior guy. I didn't know you got Jiggy out there on the sideline over by the numbers. I didn't know. See,
you
I got to do
see
my homework
hands.
There. My apologies.
You know, he was
my
also a hooper. Man. He's also a hooper.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, he can do it all.
You got the arsenal like that. You're getting up and down the floor. Are you a block-to-block guy, or are you out there on the perimeter a little bit getting jump shots?
Nah, brother, I like freedom of movement. I need to be out there on them wings, man, handling business. When I'm not eating wings, I'm on the wing, TK. But I need my invite, dog. I need my invite.
I got you, dog. I'll talk it over with Greg Olson, with George Kittle and the gang. I mean, it's going to be an absolute blast in Nashville. I can't wait to get all the guys together. The list of guys that have already committed are some of the best in the league, and you know what? I can't wait to just, you know, bounce ideas off of them and try and make this tight end position more known, more paid, to be honest, and just, you know, just overall, just get guys more knowledgeable about the position league-wide.
Hey, listen, we got a couple tight end experts right here. Thanks so much, Travis Kelce, for joining the show. We appreciate you.
All right, guys, always fun.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Aaron, drinking the Tom Brady water. Thanks for joining us here.
I'm just here so I won't get fined. You know, you got me kind of naked in that back. I wasn't actually naked, tasteful. But you guys did the blurry.
This isn't what they want, Aaron. They didn't call on you for a tribute video.
I don't
here.
Give a shit.
You could have shot that on Instagram or something.
Care.
Are you demanding a trade?
Anything's on the table at this point, Ken. With my situation, look, never been about the draft pick. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. It's just kind of about a philosophy. And maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about doing things the right way. A lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP. I know we're still going to be friends long after this is done. But it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to work with you, buddy, and excited for what's next.
Shout out to Kenny Mayne once again, his final SportsCenter show, an excellent interview with Aaron Rodgers, as always. And this thing took all kinds of twists and turns. But, Marcus, what did you take away from what Rodgers said specifically about Green Bay and just where that situation is right now?
One, it just reiterated to me the dude out of there. And second is, this was an absolute attack on the front office and the decision makers. When you listen to him talk about the effects of culture and, you know, people, it's about people. He put emphasis on that. And listen, y'all know I said I wasn't going to get on the roller coaster ride until Aaron Rodgers actually said something. And he's actually said something in this interview with Kenny Mayne. Talked about the clear separation between players and coaches and front office, i.e. decision makers. And this is also a part that came to my mind. It's a lot like LeBron. Like, these guys can handle all of the turmoil that's going on, the things that they dislike, and still perform at a very high level. This is not new for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was feeling like this for a long time, which is why I said a long time ago he would want out of Green Bay. But he also, in feeling that way, went out and delivered an MVP performance and went to the NFC Championship. It's not a lot of guys that can do that. And the reason why Aaron Rodgers can say what he wants and it happens is because he's one of those guys that can.
Yeah, Marcus, I would argue Aaron, like LeBron, it's not just that he's able to compartmentalize. You could argue that the disrespect or he would maybe characterize it as difference in philosophies motivated him further. I don't know if there's any other way to interpret what we saw last season. But, you know, what I'm not interested in doing at this point is adjudicating who is right, who is wrong, what went on inside that relationship, speculating as to, you know, what were the exact slights or sources of this dissent. We do know that it's a split between him and the front office. I think he made that quite clear. To me, the only question is, can this be fixed going forward? And again, that's not about morals or what's right or wrong. And just from a football perspective, Aaron Rodgers is one of the few people on this planet who can do what he does. So if you're Green Bay, you have to ask, have we exhausted every possible financial option, personnel, and organizational? And if you have, then as you said, Aaron Rodgers is gone. There's no question about it. I don't know if they have because I don't know exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants. He has not been clear about that.
Yeah, you know, and Mina, to just further that point, the Green Bay Packers have been very firm in their stance, just as Aaron Rodgers has. Rodgers head coach today, Matt LaFleur, addressed the media. Listen to what he said.
Aaron definitely knows how we feel about him. How he's such an important part to our football team, such an important part to our organization. And, you know, we're just going to continue to try to work through this and hopefully can get him back in the building at some point.
Diana, you were on the call listening to LaFleur today and asking questions. What's your takeaway after hearing what he said?
Yeah, I'm certainly not a body language reader, but it is my job to observe as Matt was taking all the different questions about his response to the fact that Aaron spoke with Kenny Mayne last night. And, you know, at this point, he seems just at a point with the media and talking to the public of, look, we're doing everything we can. We have no control at this point. This is going to be Aaron Rodgers' decision. We've tried everything we possibly could do to try to make this work. And the takeaway also for me, not just talking about Aaron Rodgers, but in discussions about Jordan Love, right? So we've moved on in the media from the Aaron Rodgers conversations because you can't talk about it for 20 minutes. So we have to start talking about, well, QB1 out there, how is he looking? And Laura, it really feels like the same narrative every time you hear from a Packers coach, which is they've got a very long way to go. Jordan Love, he has improved, but this is still going to be a long journey. It doesn't feel like this team is all in and believing that Jordan Love is going to be the answer if Aaron Rodgers is to walk, which is why they seem so deflated.
I feel absolutely terrible for this kid.
Yeah.
Jordan Love in this particular situation, man, because he can't win. I mean, because the minute Green Bay doesn't look good, the fan base is going to be like, oh, this guy ain't it. The first time he has a tough situation, because everything is going to be compared against the fact that, man, they made Aaron Rodgers mad. Now we got to watch this dude play. So it's horrible for Jordan Love. All he can do is go out and play football and give himself the best chance.
Quick, Mina.
No, I was just saying, the fans booed Aaron Rodgers when he replaced Brett Favre. I don't know if you guys remember that many years ago. And, of course, we know how that worked out, but there was resistance in the beginning there, too.
Got time for one more thing before we go. It's the final words between Rodgers and Kenny Mayne.
Last time we did the interview together, you told me to go heavy in the cryptocurrency game. I did. We're down 40%. Then I lost my job. Gretchen just wants a new comforter. F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, guys, at this point, Aaron Rodgers owes Gretchen a comforter, right? We all agree that?
At
absolutely.
Least.
Absolutely.
At the very
absolutely.
Least, a comforter.
Absolutely.
Such a good walk-off. Almost like Diana Rossini not having her mic on and having to put it on mid-comment just then, talking about Aaron Rodgers. She does it all. It was absolutely amazing. I wish all of you could have seen it, but I was the only one who saw it. We'll see you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.